Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hi, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Your wedding is a day you'll remember forever. And your fiancé? Your fiancé deserves a suit that feels just as special as the moment you say I do. At Nick's, we've dressed over 20,000 wedding parties, and we specialize in helping weddings own their suits for about the same price as a rental. That means not only will your fiancé look amazing on your wedding day, but we'll have a suit that can be worn for years to come. Let us make this the easiest and most meaningful part of planning your wedding. Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Piece on ESPN between he and Daniel Afusi about the Deshaun Watson situation. Kevin Stefanski, the Cleveland Browns in general, is a very good piece. It is worth a read. We were talking about it earlier this morning, and Kevin Stefanski will speak right around 1:30. So I would say lock in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll lead you right into Stefanski quite well. I'm Dan Menigan, in for Baskin and Phelps today. We're talking Buckeyes. We need something happy in our lives, and boy, the Buckeyes have done that. And more than anything, Jeremiah Smith has done that too. And it amazes me watching that kid. It amazes me watching his ability to run routes, to use his body, to look like a guy who should be a junior or a senior in college, or hell, even playing in the NFL right now, and how he is as young as he is. It is unbelievable how talented he is. The route running, the way he's able to high point balls, the way that he's able to do everything that you'd want a number one receiver to do. It just blows me away. It just absolutely blows me away watching him. I can't remember, Ohio State's had a lot of really talented wide receivers. I mean, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Marvin Harrison, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson. We could then go to Alabama and all the wide receivers that they've spit out after, over a good period of time. Jaylen Waddle, Devontae Smith, Amari Cooper. We could go to LSU, Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase. Like, a lot of wide receivers have come through college, but I do not remember a freshman making this much of an impact. Like, I do not remember a freshman coming in and being this polished. He blows me away. And just the way that he has come in, and it was so funny because in the beginning of the season, I was talking to a buddy of mine who is a serious Ohio State fan, and he goes, you got to watch out for Jeremiah Smith. He's going to make a real impression. I'm like, he's a freshman. Like, there's a jump between high school football and college, and especially high-level Division I college football, Ohio State, all that kind of stuff, Big Ten football on top of that. He's like, dude, this kid can play. And he's right. And I'm still blown away. And I'm still impressed with every single thing he has been able to do. Just outstanding. Absolutely outstanding and unbelievable to watch this whole thing happen. And it brought up a really interesting... There were two interesting discussions that came out of this. One of them, my favorite discussion that I've laughed really hard at in a good period of time, and it was courtesy of the College Football Inquirer. Great podcast, Yahoo Sports. Dan Wetzel, Pat Forty, Ross Dellinger. And they go, at what point does Michigan call up Jeremiah Smith and give him a whole boatload of money to just go to Hawaii and train? Not to play, just go to Hawaii and just go train. And I heard that and I just started giggling. And I was like, yeah, you know what? That kind of makes sense, because that might be the best way to beat him, is to just kind of make this guy go away. The other one that stood out to me was this morning on Get Up. They were talking about it on the show. Dan Orlovsky was talking about it. Mike Greenberg, everybody knows Get Up. And Dan Orlovsky had this to say when it came to Jeremiah Smith.
Number one pick wouldn't even be close. He would easily be the number one pick in this year's draft. You will have teams in 2 years for that 27 draft tanking for him.
For a wide receiver. Draft,
absolutely. He's that good. He's that talented. He is Julio Jones. His hips look like they're in their armpits. His armpits. I mean, he looks 6'5 just from his, you know, hips up down. I mean, he reminds me of Julio Jones. His physical frame reminds me a little bit of Calvin Johnson's. He would be easily the number one pick in this year's NFL draft. Okay. Easily.
I've heard this thrown around a good amount, too, that this guy is... would be the number one pick in the draft. He would be unbelievable. You see that stuff get thrown around. I don't know if I'm there. I think he's the most talented wide receiver in college football, though. Teams would tank to get him? Yeah. I don't know. Probably. I don't know if I would go that far. Because the problem is, too, is a wide receiver can make a hell of a difference. I mean, if you ask Joe Burrow, you're seeing what he's doing for T. Higgins right now, basically walking around telling anybody who will listen to him about how much T. Higgins matters to them and how much he needs T. Higgins in Cincinnati. Well, the guy on the other side is another one of those. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase is a one-man wrecking crew. He's just insane, but he still needs Burrow to get him the ball on time, on target, and in space. It's the problem that I will always have with taking a wide receiver at one. Is like you still have to throw him the ball. It's not like he can directly impact any level of the game just by himself. Yes, I know you could say, hey, they got to roll coverage to him. They got to double team him. They got to triple team. They got to move the safety over him. They got like I get that there's a gravitational pull that comes to having one of those guys. But man, this kid is something special. He's just something special. And I don't think, again, I don't think I'm tanking for a wide receiver at any given point. Because if you're drafting high enough, I don't think it's because you have everything in place except for one wide receiver. I just don't think you could have every single thing in place except for one wide receiver. You probably need a quarterback. You probably need a left tackle. Like a lot of things. For you to lose a bunch of games, trust me, we know. We're Browns fans. We're in the middle of it right now. To lose a whole bunch of games in the NFL draft, you need a lot of stuff to go wrong. It's not just the quarterback. The quarterback going wrong, you can... that puts you like at a 500, slightly below 500 team if everything else is clicking. We saw it with Joe Flacco. We saw it with others. It kind of puts you in that position. If you look at the teams right now, so I can't say I'm tanking for Jeremiah Smith, but whoever ends up with him in 2 years is just got themselves a star. But more than anything else, let's take the half step back and just talk a little college football playoff as well. Because the Arizona State game was everything that we wanted this to be. You know, the Arizona State-Texas game, Cam Scataboo was just, again, you want to talk about a one-man wrecking crew? Holy mackerel, that kid was a one-man wrecking crew. Just his ability to take the ball at any position, throw it even at one point, as a wide receiver, as a running back, it just blew me away. And the fact that he was, refunding on the sidelines at one point of it and then proceeded to rally and come back. I mean, good golly, if that isn't on a T-shirt in Arizona State, I give up. If you don't see, you know, puke and rally on a on a T-shirt in Arizona State, I would have been blown away. And the fact that we're talking about him and not the fact that Texas ended up winning that game tells you all you need to know. This was a great game. This was must-see. That Peach Bowl was everything that we wanted the college football playoff to be. We wanted to see how these teams would go up against each other because we've had arguments forever. You know, the big prize was always the Rose Bowl at the tail end of it before we even had a national championship. And it was the big prize there, and we would sit there and go, boy, I wonder what it would look like if Ohio State took on Alabama. Well, now we could do it. Now if those are the two best teams, that can happen. And this college football playoff is doing it. Boy, Arizona State hung, and they hung like champs. I mean, that should impress you more than anything else of these people who are screaming that, oh, yeah, it should be just the SEC and the Big Ten and everybody else is just a waste. Uh-uh. That Arizona State team told you a different story, and they should be proud of what they did against Texas. And on the Texas side, look, Quinn Ewers made some big throws when he needed to. He had a couple moments where he fell apart. But boy, oh boy, he made the right throws when he needed to make the right throws. And so Quinn Ewers impressed me a little on that one. I don't know if I'm totally in the position where I think he is going to end up being like a top pick or anything like that in the NFL draft, but Quinn Ewers made some big boy throws in that game that were impressive. And it's sounding like he's going to, you know, we'll see if he hops into transfer portal or if Texas ponies up or anything like that in between there. Also, credit the boy, you know, credit to Penn State. Penn State had a really good game. Abdul Carter leaves that game early. It was a bummer because a lot of people were tuning in from around here. They wanted to see Abdul Carter and actually pay attention to him going up against somebody else besides the Buckeyes when you have a rooting interest against his success. The kid's immensely talented. And kudos to Penn State and kudos to Drew Aller in that game as well. They took down a really good opponent. They completely scarfed up they completely just stopped Genty. And it was so impressive to watch that take place. And stopping that kid was something to behold because, boy, if you watched the Boise State at any point this season, you saw how talented of a runner he was. And you saw why these top programs were wanting to give him $2, $3 million to come play for him. Because you saw it all season long. There was no Big Ten or SEC team would not want it, that kid. And he's going to be a high draft pick the same way we saw Bijan Robinson last year. And he's going to be awesome. And so you look at these games that took place in the second round, and we're going to get one tonight as well. Notre Dame versus Georgia. It's going to be down in Louisiana. It's sounding like Bourbon Street's going to be open right before them after the horrific terrorist attack that took place. And we're going to have that one today at 4 o'clock. We'll see what that ends up looking like too, but that's going to be a good big boy matchup of Notre Dame and Georgia. Folks, this is what we wanted. Is it perfect? No. No, it's far from perfect. We would all tinker little things in between there. I think instead of that game being in the Rose Bowl, we would have probably wanted the number one team to have a home game. I know it was Ohio State and Oregon, and I know Ohio State fans are going to go, no, no, no. But like, think about it for a second. If the shoe was on the other foot, you would want the Ducks in the shoe. So that's the only, like, there are things that we want to tweak here, but we're doing the right thing. And this is the right thing so far. And this is the best idea that they've had. And for the first time in my life, college football has decided that good is acceptable and not the enemy of great. Good can be tinkered to great. It's not we have to have great or we have nothing. And that's where I give college football a lot of credit because, boy, I have ripped them often for how they operate. And I have ripped them for a lot of things that they have done, and they have found something that's good. Does it need to be tinkered with? Yeah. But they're not letting good be the enemy of great. And I will be appreciative for that one. And hey, the first round was some busts. Okay, you're going to run into that. It's a 12-team playoff. We all walked in saying, maybe 7 teams can win this whole thing. 6 teams can win this whole thing. So you're going to run into that. And then other years we're going to run in, especially as the portal continues. Other years we're going to run in, and we might have 12 teams that can win this whole thing. We might have 10 teams who can win this whole thing as the talent continues to spread out throughout college football. This was awesome. This was everything I could ask for. The only thing that stood out that I think might be worth a discussion, if somebody would like to have it, and we'll see what tonight gives us. But the only thing is having 3 weeks off might not be the best thing for the teams that are the first seeds. And I don't know what the answer to that one is, because everybody will always take no football over football. You know, teams, I should say, when it comes to resting and wanting to get guys ready for these big matchups. They'll always take the week off. But you saw in all of those games of the higher seeds, they got off to slow starts. Ohio State was able to come in and just absolutely just blitz and go nuts against an Oregon team that looked like they hadn't played in 3 weeks. Penn State was able to get out on an early lead against Boise State. We all thought that Arizona State was done against Texas because they got off slow. We'll see what this looks like here. It's too small of a sample size for me to bang the table and say that that is the case. I want to see it for a couple more years before we all go, well, that might be the best thing. But it's one of those things that happened that I think is worth pointing out. It's one of those things that took place that I think we should all take half a second and go, okay, that's interesting. Maybe something to keep an eye on moving forward. Again, not the end-all be-all in any way, shape, or form. But I think it's one of those things worth noting that the teams that were coming off of that bye didn't exactly hit the ground running, didn't exactly click right off the rip. They started a little slow and had to rally from there, and they've ended up losing those games. I don't know. Again, we're all trying to figure this out. We are all trying to figure this out as we go. We are all trying to figure the whole thing out. we'll see. We've got a lot of time, and hopefully they tweak it from here. The only thing I ask is please don't turn it into 16 teams yet. Just let this thing be what it is. Just let it exist the way that it is. Let it be how it wants to be. And let's get a decent sample size before we start going in and going, well, we need to add more teams. We need to do this. We need to do that. Like, let's let this go for 3-4 years. Let's see what this looks like, this playoff, and we'll go from there. But boy, right now, this is a booming success. I love every last bit of it. And the Ohio State Buckeyes look like the best team in college football. And they look like they're peaking at the right time. 216-474-0092 at the Sports Feller on Twitter. We bring in our buddy Dan Wetzel, Yahoo Sports at noon. Kevin Stefanski, a little after 1 o'clock, 1:30, somewhere in between there. Jeremy Fowler joining us at 1 as well from ESPN. Dan Menigan, Baskin and Phelps, 93 The Fan.